I'll call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Teeman, Doran, Byers, Lytle, and Mr. Bauman is on the premises somewhere. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held October 7th, 2020. Approve all claims through October 21st, 2020, in the amount of $1,973,846.95. Accept claim number 20100130 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $790, and claim number 20100230 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $96.13 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file. Correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1167, Great Plains Communications. They will be plowing and boring all road crossings, driveways, and culverts 5 feet deep for 5,900 feet in the north greater ditch along East Pickerel Road, then north on the east side of South 12th Road for 2,600 feet to place fiber optic cable to existing tower located in the southeast quarter 22, southwest and southeast quarter 23, and southwest quarter 24, Township 5 North, Range 6 East, Holt Township. Approve utility permit number 1168 to Windstream, Nebraska, LLC. They will be digging 5 foot deep open trench, 5 foot long, 5 foot long in the west ditch and placing a 1.25 inch inner duct and a 12 pair fiber cable from existing hand hole number F553N to AT&T cell site at 2715 South 12th Road, Cortland, Nebraska, located in the northeast quarter section 2, Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township. Approve utility permit number 1169 to Windstream, Nebraska, LLC. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter and placing approximately 1,965 feet of fiber cable and 1,965 feet of copper cable starting from an existing handhold and crossing the drainage ditch 5 feet below bottom of East Greater Ditch and 6 to 8 feet below flow line of drainage ditch. They will also bore 2-inch diameter and place approximately 1,975 feet of copper cable 5 feet below the bottom of the west greater ditch and 6 to 8 feet below flow line of drainage ditch, located in the northeast, southeast quarter, northwest, southwest quarter, section 22, Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Blakely Township. Approve correction on utility permit number 1166 from section 3, Township 8 North, Range 7 East to section...
Sorry, missed the 3.
To section 3, Township 3 North, Range North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township.
It was, instead of the 8 North, it was should have been 3 North.
Oh, okay, so...
Section 3.
Same section.
Yep.
So change from...
Just the township was supposed to be 8 North, or 3 North instead of 8 North, as we were given.
Was that on that list of super long ones that Galen thought was funny to give us that time?
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Doran.
Can I ask you to just add a real quick executive session, and it's just an informational thing on a contract I'm working on, and I just wanted to bring you up to date, but it's on something that needs to be in the closed session.
Should we include that to the consent agenda?
Well, yeah, you basically approved the general agenda, and I just wanted the group if they're okay with that.
We will do it. Thank you, Counselor. Motion by Byers, second by Doran. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up first, regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 20100130 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $790. This is a company I own.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Byers. Please vote. Five in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 20100230 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $96.13. This brings the total amount of claims approved through October 21st, 2020 to $1,974,733.08.
Why are we spending so much with Johnny's Welding, $96?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Dorn. Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries.
That shows you how cheap they are.
The work or the product?
with Jurgens abstaining.
Good point. Yeah, good. Okay, all right. You got the gold medal today.
Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights.
My boss, Dave.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'll give you an update on Purple Way. We have some things on the auction that are ending, I believe it's on November 4th. The assessor's old pickup truck jumped up to $1,150. The Adams Tower and Wymore Tower were sitting at nothing just the other day, and they jumped up to $725 for the Adams Tower. And the Wymore Tower is at $375 at this time. Last week, the elevator did go down. Luckily, it went down on the weekend. We caught it early and had it repaired. We did have Tuesday. There were a couple of times where people needed some help getting up the stairs. But by Tuesday early afternoon, it was up and going. A circuit board went out on it. So that's the first issue we've really had seriously with that elevator. And we do have the extended warranty that we pay extra for, so that will should cover that. I will give an update on that when that happens. Sheriff's Office retaining wall, we're going to move forward with putting in that retaining wall this fall along 6th Street. After talking with the city and with the board, I think we're going to hold off on that till next spring and include replacing a sidewalk along 6th Street that goes in front of the evidence building there. And the city asked to have two approaches on the northwest corner removed at that time. So we'll come up with a plan on that and move forward.
Have they basically committed to paying for that, for putting that in, Dave?
Well, I did talk to one person, and when we talked about the city asked if they could, if we could do that, it was my understanding that they were okay with replacing those pieces of concrete where those approaches were at and at the end of the alley. And then we had more discussion with the city, and it sounded like they didn't feel they were responsible for any of the sidewalk. They did agree to paying gutter, curb and gutter on that, so, but not the sidewalk.
And barricades right now.
And barricades, they said they can get the permit for that, and so they could close the street. It would be nice, you know, if we could just do it all at the same time, sidewalk, and just leave it closed for the retaining wall and just do it all at the same time.
I'm going to talk to the city later today, the street department, and we'll see if they'll bite that off too, because they had told you that before, or at least talk to James and see if he will.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. I have been working with Todd Heido, just kind of getting some ideas on handicap ramp on the east side that does need to get replaced. And when we talked about it, we talked about an enclosure too. So he's kind of tossed some ideas around. I did get a proposal from Fakler Architects, and I think we'll probably put it out for bid. I would think, if you'd like, I could pass around the bid that Fakler came up with on a proposal for a ramp at this time, or would you rather?
Yeah, maybe it's better if we don't even see the dollar amount on that. Just
okay.
If we're going to put bids out.
Okay.
I mean, if somebody wants to see it, they could talk to Dave.
Don't submit it in a public meeting. It becomes record, so then it would erode the process.
Okay. And it is in pretty much a very preliminary stages. I know we talked about it, you know, an enclosed area to help. We've always had issues with that side with this handicap. Turned into more of a main entrance on a lot of times, so including probably having, if we have to have security down there, they would actually go through that on the outside of the building before they ever came in to the courthouse.
Dave, did you approach Flaker about the proposal?
I talked a little bit. Actually, Todd Heido was the one that discussed it with him also.
Okay.
And at this time, I'm kind of just bouncing ideas off of Todd to see what would work. Rosie and I have been making several trips out to the extension office when Jane Esau retired. They're kind of rearranging, changing their offices around, so we've been hauling quite a bit of stuff out of there. Brought a bunch of file cabinets and things to the courthouse, and they've had quite a bit of, I think it was 40 years of stuff that Jane had, so a lot of it went to the dump. So making space out there. Oh, and last is we have our first winter lights Tuesday in the EOC. So
at 12 o'clock?
At 12 o'clock. I talked to Sean Van Lanningham, and he's planning on towards the very end of October putting the lights on the trees and checking out the building. I did turn the lights on the building, and everything looked good. So hopefully it's just mainly the trees that we'll have to...
Well, I caught somebody walking across the yard this morning. I hope if they tore anything up, we can have them pay for any damage that they did. So
they were inspecting the density of the upper crust of the soil.
So that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization.
Everything is equal.
Finance and insurance. Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Butler City Landfill hauling for tire amnesty, $36,391.34. Jones Automotive Sheriff Vehicle, $19,508.66.
How many vehicles was that for?
I just want everybody for that to sink in. Region 5 Systems, Mental Health Services, $15,511.75. U.S. Postal Service, postage for meter, $25,000. Washington County Sheriff, inmate boarding and medical, $12,081.45. Road Fund, Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $19,582.81. Contact Engineered Solutions, Culverts, $18,182.40. NMC Exchange, Parts and Labor, $10,778.82. Sapp Brothers, Fuel and Oil, $14,395.36. Midwest Infrastructure Incorporated, $150,867.91. This is first payment on that bridge that we have on the Bridge Match Program south of Holmesville. Drawn from the Inheritance Fund. First Wireless Turbo Radio System for the Sheriff, $31,876.77. Lamel Plumbing Awnings for the Sheriff, $8,631. Pavers Incorporated, 2020 Overlays. This is the second round, or final payment, I assume, Galen?
There should be one more payment.
One more payment? This one, the second payment to them, is $1,152,388.59.
Who are those awnings for?
Before long, the road department is going to catch up spending money with the sheriff's department. I keep working on it.
Human resource, employee relations.
We had a closed session on an employee matter.
I've got a couple just reminders, too, on that. Steve Tim will be retiring. There's the open house Friday, October 30th. From 2 to 4, presentation will be at 3, and that's in the district courtroom. October 30th, presentation at 3. And then, due to this last election, our Mr. Hill is our rep on the BVCA board, and they're looking to see who we would like to take that spot, because you have a 3-year term?
Right. Well, yes.
So if
reorganization
January, he'll be here yet then. So if anybody's interested in that, maybe talk to John. See what that entails. I know Terry, you kind of asked about that. I thought
you'd be good at it.
I'll do it.
Thanks, Matt.
I'll cover for Terry.
Okay, I'm gonna look this way.
I did it for years, and John took over for me. But it's a good board. You can learn a lot if somebody would like to serve.
It is a good board, but
Eddie,
don't look at me.
Be thinking about that. You can ask John though about Eddie. You might want to ask John about this. See what that entails. Law enforcement emergency management.
And I have to pull it out.
Yeah. You're doing the new ones.
Good morning.
Morning.
About the only thing I have is we're bringing the other two new cars back next week to start getting them transitioned over at some point in time.
Could you identify yourself, please?
There you go. Okay. Sheriff Gustafson.
Oh, thank you, Sheriff.
Oh, you're welcome.
I didn't recognize you.
I didn't either.
I'm sure that's just you.
Thanks for identifying yourself.
Yeah. Also, we're not going to do the Shop of the Cop again this year because the COVID. I just don't want to take a chance putting the kids out there and that. So be postponed, and we'll probably just cancel all together and do it next year. So outside of that, the only thing I have will be when Roger comes to the closed session. That will be some stuff for me. So, okay.
Thank you, Sheriff.
You're welcome.
Why don't you do the Shop of the Cop? Why don't you do the Shop of the
I'm just
cop?
Not going to go with the COVID. It's just too much of a hassle. And so we're just going to wait and see how next year is.
Bring the toys to the school. They're all at the schools.
Yeah. It's better right now we do it this way.
Okay.
Yeah. I got some new people coming and going. I decided it's just best.
Grinch.
Morning, Lisa.
Morning.
Good morning. Anyway, the Lower Big Blue Hazardous Mitigation
Could you identify meeting? Yourself, please?
Absolutely. Lisa Wiggin, Gage County Emergency Manager. For today, and zoning administrator. All right. So we did have the Lower Big Blue NRD meeting last night. We had good participation. Again, communities are part of this plan. Galen and Becky were also there, just giving the communities the opportunity to gain eligibility for FEMA projects and identifying their strengths and weaknesses and where they need improvements at. So today is the last meeting of the round one, and it's done virtually. So those people that we didn't get, we're hoping to pick up virtually. They are running into challenges with COVID also. Schools are being asked to be a part of that hazardous mitigation plan individually. Beatrice was there last night, so Adams Freeman and Diller Odell and Wymore Southern have all been contacted, and we're reaching out to them. There may be some fire districts that may also need to write their own, be a part of their own plan. And a lot of that came throughout, as we learned last night, came throughout the funding that was made available to them during 4420, the flooding. So it was identified at that particular time that a lot of our fire districts were working under the village's plan. And so they may need to, if their buildings are owned by a rural fire district, if they ever want to participate in a mitigation plan that FEMA has funding for, they may need to have their own plan. So we'll we'll continue to work through that. That was on the round one meeting information last night. So COVID, obviously all of you are our press. Thank you for keeping us up to date with all the numbers and so forth. As of this morning, it's 151 cases within the last 14 days. In talking with the fire and rescue, specifically rescue for Beatrice, it is very evident that the calls of service have increased, especially the last week. And so as we move into the next 3 weeks, we're looking for those calls of service to also increase. And those are COVID-related calls of service, too, in addition to what they're doing now. And obviously for the calls of service, there's always that decon process, you know, of making sure that the equipment is all decon, so you always have that timeline and transition time before they move on to the next call to service. So, today opens the new governor's directive health measure. So that goes into effect today. I, on Monday, gave you guys a copy of that and also an outline. And then also today at 10 o'clock, the stabilization grants open up. Again, for round two, additional funding had come available through the CARES through the Nebraska's portion, and so round two opens up. So that includes, you know, the small businesses, livestock producers, again, have that option to go for round two, hotels, event centers, sports arenas, licensed daycares, then ethanol producers. Hospital capacity grants are also there. But, yeah, 10 o'clock, I'm guessing that the websites and their access to the program is going to be pretty busy. So for direct funding. We did receive notification, and I don't know if Dawn had a chance to look at that, but they have expanded the type of public safety officials who can ask for payroll cost reimbursement. Before it was just, I think it was overtime for our deputies, but now they're increasing that to include my portion of what the county pays on my salary. And also, as I read through it, the correctional and the detention facility staff will be reimbursed also. So. So I'm sure Dawn got that information. And
we actually had done a dry run NACO
mm-hmm.
before they could determine whether they were going to issue funds. So we had already put all that together. That's what I was thinking of when I emailed you back. So we've sent it in to see what their verdict is. And so now we'll just
So their verdict is yay. Yeah. We can move forward. So
what are we looking at dollar-wise, Dawn?
On the corrections, I don't remember. We've already submitted one to law enforcement, and it's a couple hundred thousand. So, and I think we may get that.
It's huge.
But mm-hmm. It's got to be confirmed.
Big thing for our county.
Yeah, for everybody. So it's great that they expanded that payroll opportunity. So with that, that's about all I have, unless you have questions for me.
Yeah, at least I do.
Yeah.
So. You brought up the rural fires needing to have their own hazard mitigation plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wanted to ask you, in your discussions with NEMA and FEMA, have you had any discussions with any of them? And do they realize how hard it is to get volunteers, whether it's helping Gus or it's helping the rural fire departments? Do they have any concept as to how hard it is to get volunteers? Because they keep piling more and more crap on the rural fires and whoever else, whether it's training or it's hazard mitigation plans or it's whatever. I don't think they realize how much of a deficit we're in as far as volunteers go, whether it's rural fire or it's, you know, whether Gus needs help with something. Or do they have any concept at all as to how hard it is to get volunteers?
You know, I would agree. They don't work in the volunteer side of the world. They work in those paid payrolls. And so the training alone is huge, what they have to do to keep their accreditation up. So in order to – they have to be compliant with training in order to get funding for equipment, because this would not include equipment. This is just specifically, you know, possibly a firehouse, you know, maybe, or a tornado shelter that's built within a firehouse. But – I will bring that message back to them.
Well, I just you know, as and us on the board too. I mean, it's all our responsibility at some point, at some point, to run up the flagpole that they need to quit sending shit down on top of these guys, because they struggle to get volunteers the way it is, and then you're going to expect them to do all this stuff and drown them with paperwork.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and we've got to get some help here. They just can't just say, hey, do it. But I'm not sure who's leading that. It's FEMA and...
Yeah.
Matt, I'd be interested to hear any input you might have, because you've sat on a rural fire recently, and you've gone through that process. It's quite a bit.
It's difficult to get people to serve, and it's difficult. You know, everybody's busy. You don't have a population in the rural base that you used to. Everybody works someplace else. You can't just leave work. And certainly increases in paperwork and regulation and dotting this I and crossing that T. When people want to just, they want to get in the apparatus and they want to help their fellow citizen, but there's all this background work that's tied to funding and regulations, and that's just a part of it. It's an unfortunate part, but it's hard. It's hard.
For the rural fire, one of the best training is having a house burning, but they got that so tough now they can't even do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just, the ones that I look at anyway, you look, there's an older population that's on the rural fire, a lot of the rural fire districts, and as those guys are phasing out, who's going to replace them with all the training regulations and everything? And there's younger ones. I mean, you know, you've got your AJs and different guys like that that are coming on, but they're just not a flood of people coming to volunteer work.
Yeah.
So I'd appreciate it.
Yes.
When you have opportunities to talk to NEMA and FEMA, they need to understand that while we want our people trained and everything else, somehow we've got to find a way to bring people in, not push them away.
Maybe as we're doing the government job creation, also known as the fake jobs, to do paperwork, the paperwork they create, maybe they could file that stuff for those people if they want it done.
It's very possible. Yeah, it's very possible. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Road and Bridge, Mr. Jergens,
Mr. Hill.
The dirt crew finished shouldering the 4 miles of asphalt east of Pickerel, and they're moving to the Homestead Asphalt Road. The asphalt crew is patching the PWF and milling the Rockford Road, and the bridge crew is patching bridges. Galen discussed the possible bridges for the round five of the bridge match program. Most of the ones that could be done with culverts have been done, so these will be bridges or boxes. But the ones that are still left that could be submitted is the steel truss bridge south of Claytonia on the blacktop, east of 1 Lincoln, north of 17 Philly, and east of 35 Blakely. Those are all truss bridges. There's a girder bridge east of 2 Adams, and a bridge in Blue Springs on A Street. And the one in Blue Springs would be submitted through the county, but it would be funded by, the cost share would be funded by Blue Springs if that one is submitted. The Holmesville Bridge Project, they've set the south slabs, and they're moving to the north side, and the contractor says they could be done in 3 to 4 weeks if all goes well. And Pawnee County is opening bids for the east of 12 Lincoln Bridge replacement, which will be a box culvert by Hidden Acres.
Thank you, John. All right. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution for amendment and addendum to NERMA 2 intergovernmental interlocal agreements for period July 1st, 2021. Through June 30th, 2024.
Resolution number 20-29.
Roger, do you want to touch on what the changes are to this, or I guess Don?
It's just an extension on your coverage by NERMA. It's a three-year extension.
Okay.
I don't think they've changed anything on this document. It basically just commits that you're going to stay with NERMA for 3 years.
Is it providing the tail coverage? Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a request in for it.
I just was curious.
There we go. Two attorneys can help us.
Couldn't find it.
I would move to approve resolution 2029.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Any discussion on this extension? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order prior to a closed session for personnel? Seeing none, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9. Negotiations or?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I guess it'd be negotiations is what it would be.
Yeah, it's basically it's a contract negotiation.
Contract negotiation.
An emergency situation.
So I'd ask for a closed session at 9:16, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual for contract negotiations.
So moved.
Moved by Hill.
Second.
Second by Dorn. On the closed session at 9:16. No action will be taken after that. Please vote. 7 in favor.
I was afraid he was going to get let off there.
You guess?
Yeah, I'm sorry for that, man. I mean, I went over the story.
You're on.
That's a bad deal.
I would ask for a motion to go back or come out of closed session at 9:26 on the clock.
So
moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're back in open session. Anything else for the good of the order? I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting no. We are adjourned at 9:27 on the clock.
I'm sorry, Eric. I let that slip. I generally in